Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. It's your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad that you joined us tonight, as we are every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we gather to study the Word of God. We'd like to begin our time together, of course, with song, scripture, and prayer. So at this time, we'll hear from June Rochelle.
Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, where it says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any heart. I'm sorry. Beware, brethren, lest there be in you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Hebrews 3:12-14.
Amen. God, we come before you this evening. We're so grateful for the opportunity to study your word. We come before you, God, seeking your presence. God, we are in anticipation of what you're going to do in our lives tonight. And God, we stand receptive to your spirit, to your word, and to each other, that we might learn and grow. God, we love you, and we know you love us. And we ask you to bless our leader in a special way, Pastor Carver, as he leads us into your words, that we might grow, that we might be able to take your message to other people and let them know that Jesus truly is the answer for the world today, and help them to see the love of God in us. They might desire to be saved and be a part of your family. God, use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We are so excited tonight to again talk about this month's Bible study, which is an awesome topic. We're talking about eternal salvation. And as we've been talking about that, we've been looking at various texts. And our foundational text is Hebrews 12:2. We looked on the 7th at Hebrews 3:12 through, and we're going to look at Hebrews 3:12-14 tonight. So we're so excited to have Pastor Carver, who's going to lead us in Bible study tonight. We're grateful to have him to come in tonight and to teach us. If you don't mind, Pastor Carver, let's start with a roll call. And if you're ready to go after that, Let's go.
Pastor Carver?
Eric? Sean?
This is James.
Brett?
D?
Corinne?
Awesome. So we have some idea who we got on the line tonight. So Pastor Carver, let's go.
Well,
there are others in the studio, but they're not wanting to talk, so it's okay.
Last week, we spoke about how certain people believed you received salvation. And we spoke about three passages of Scripture. We were speaking about Acts 2:38-39, where we talked about how Peter said that we were to repent, which is to turn away from serving sin. We were to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And then we also spoke about Romans 10:8-10, where it says that we are to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our master. And we also spoke about how we are to believe with our heart that God raised the Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And then we also spoke about Acts 19:1-7, where it says that we are to believe to speak in tongues and believe to prophesy. But I realized while I was studying for tonight that we overlooked a verse. There might actually be one more thing that we might want to do, right? And remember, I'm not putting these forth as technical, you know, this is the absolute way it must be done. I'm saying this is what I read in the Scripture, that someone who wants to make sure they've done anything God could have possibly asked related to salvation, you might want to look at these verses, right? Well, one of the verses that I managed to overlook is in Romans 10:12. And you hear this all the time with the televangelists, where they say, call on the name of the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, right? And it's interesting because I was looking at Romans 10:12. And if there's anyone who wants to read it here, that would really be good. Is there anyone who wants to read? Actually, it's Romans 10:13. Anyone want to pick that up?
I have it. This is James.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Now, of all of the things that that we've discussed between last Tuesday and today, that's probably the first thing you could do. The easiest thing you could possibly do is call on the name of the Lord and then know that desire came from God, right? And it's interesting because many of us, as soon as we find ourselves in trouble, even before we were saved, what's the first thing out of your mouth? Oh, God. Well, this is saying call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
Brother teacher,
Yes, sir.
Can I read a little bit? Can I read a little bit before that and a little bit after that to help? Okay. Starting at verse 11, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blessed all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?
Amen. Now that is awesome. And it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, right? These are good things we're sharing with the world. And it's interesting because what you just read is connected directly to what we're going to discuss tonight, because there is a progression in the rolling out or the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We start in Acts chapter 2 with the 120 and how it's just the Jews at that point. And then we go on to Acts 8, where we're going to read about tonight how the Holy Spirit was then dispensed to the Samaritans, which no one saw coming, right? They were like a lesser class in that arena. And then later on in Acts 10, we get totally blown away because the great mystery of the Jews and Gentiles being made one, as you just read here, where it says in verse 12, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, right? This is saying that the Holy Spirit has been made available to everyone, and we're going to read in Acts 10 tonight about how the Holy Spirit was made available to the Gentiles with the household of Cornelius. And what we're going to see is we're going to see some variations of how the Holy Spirit was received. I'd like to ask a few of our questions as we have been discussing this. The first question is it possible for people of different faiths to discuss salvation?
Yes.
Anybody else? And if you're aware of another faith, I'm saying, and when I say faith, I'm not talking about Christian denomination. I'm talking about other faiths to discuss salvation, right? Are you aware of another faith's belief about salvation, about eternal life, about the afterlife? Anybody want to discuss anything related to that? Because it directly ties to the next question.
In most other faiths, when they speak about that, like in Islam, they don't really know if they're going to be saved or not. And their salvation is dependent upon what they do. It's not a condition of grace by somebody else, but it's about their deeds and what they do. And that is probably the case in most other faiths. It's about what you do and how divinity, whatever that means to them, perceives what you do. It's not about, you know, about how good you can be. But it's with us, with Christianity, it's about grace. It's all of sin and come short of the glory of God. So it's not about what you do, and we're not saved because of what we do, but it's based on God, what God does to us, you know, and the fact that we can be saved through Jesus Christ. Other people would see their salvation through deeds and what they do. So it's Christianity is totally different from the other faith traditions.
Amen. And you know, the thing we have to remember is the verse we led with last week in Hebrews 12:2. Is there anyone who wants to read that? Hebrews 12:2.
This is Dr. Susie. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
No. Yeah, I was just suggesting that since none of us are Muslim or are experts in the field of other faiths, that we steer away from that since we can't speak on behalf of other people. So, you know, for us to hearsay, I don't think that's just or fair. So I would really appreciate it if we, you know, not speak. And Dr. Nooks, Lester asked a question, but I'm just asking the leader if we could refrain from speaking on behalf of what other people believe, because that's not our faith. We're talking about the Christian faith. So until we can get somebody to come in and who's a representative of that faith, then I think we need to be fair and not speak for them.
Does anyone have Hebrews 12:2?
Yes. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
And I think this is speaking directly to what you just said, Dr. Nooks, is that Christianity focuses on the work that was completed at Calvary by Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And then we also know that the desire to come to God when we call out to Jesus Christ is it comes from God, right? That's not something we just decided to do on our own. Or is it? Anybody want to discuss that?
Yeah, this is Eric, and I can't read tonight because I'm driving, so forgive me. But I believe that in every born human, there is a desire to know God and get back to God. And the reason that I say that is this. So scripture tells us that God spoke the earth into being. He took the dust that he spoke into being, formed man, and breathed the breath of life into him. That means that in every mankind since Adam and Eve, that God's spirit is a part of us. Thing that makes us so unsure and so antsy is that we haven't connected back to that true spirit. So, yes, God calls us to us, but in every one of us, innately, we are trying to get back to the source which created us.
An interesting thought. Anybody else? I want to look at a passage of scripture here in Acts chapter 8. And Acts chapter 8 is really interesting because we have the Holy Spirit coming to the Samaritan. I want to see if we can't turn there, but while you're turning to Acts chapter 8, I'm going to ask this question. Is you know, as we are discussing salvation. And you know what? Let's do this. While we're discussing salvation among the various Christian denominations, right? What are some of the reasons you might think certain faiths resist portions of these seven things that I've outlined about turning away from serving sin, being water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your master, believing in your heart that God raised the Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, believing to speak in tongues, believing to prophesy, and calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, right? Why would any Christian denomination resist any of those?
Well, this is James. I just wanted to say something about the salvation, and not to get technical, there's something that Wesley in theology, it talks about prevenient grace, and this is the fact that there is an urgence that precedes human decision, or unless this is God reaching out to people in some way that helps them to make a decision for Christ. So
right.
To go along with what I think,
right?
What Eric is saying, we're trying to ask about, there is an element I think of God reaching out to us in some way. If it's in love, if it's in touching us in some way that makes us want to reach out to God. So I think there is something in God that reaches out to us.
I'm sorry.
No, I just want to address.
Go ahead.
Address your question that you had asked prior to that. I was just going to say something about
This is Eric.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pastor Lester, this is Eric. I would think that, like any denomination, that there are certain people who believe certain things, and that's all they want to believe, and they want people around them that is going to believe that. So I could be a part of your denomination, and you walk in there and say, well, here are the things that I believe need to be done for salvation. And I can object with you and say, no, I don't believe that, so I'm pulling out of here, and I'm taking some of these folks with me. And there's no basis for it other than I just don't want to believe what you're telling me.
Well, isn't that one of the things that Jesus Christ resisted when he was on earth was the doctrines of men, right? Because among the Jews, there were various sects, right? And so you're going to see that doctrines of men always have to be subjugated to the authority of the Word of God, right? When we read that the Word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, right? Instruction and righteousness.
I think this is James. I was just going to say, I think that most Christian denominations are grounded in the fact that confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and also whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether that calling is, however that calling is, but anyway, and that calling comes about because you believe. So the believing in Jesus and believing in God and God raising from the dead, I think are foundational to all those Christian denominations. If you don't believe in Jesus and the fact that God raised him from the dead, then how can you even call yourself a Christian?
You can't be a Christian. Yeah, you can't call yourself a Christian, right?
Yeah, well, you know.
This is Dr. Susie. This is Dr. Susie.
You can be Christ-like.
This is Dr. Susie.
Christ-like.
Hello.
Dr. Susie?
So this is Dr.
Yes,
Susie. So let's break this down, Brother Lester, so that the average person can understand this. When you use words like dispensation, when we talk about all this and Wesleyan theology and all these different things, that's you know, it makes people go like, what is going on? What are you talking about?
Fundamentally,
break it down.
Okay. All right. Well, what we want to do we're
going
to go to the beginning on this, is let's go to Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. And in Acts 2, verse 38 and 39, what it says, then Peter said to them, repent, which means turn away from serving sin, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, and then it goes on to say, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, that would mean us, as many as the Lord our God will call, right? Now, it's interesting because this is laying the groundwork for everything else that ends up happening later on, where the Samaritans received, and then the Gentiles received, and nobody was even thinking about that when Pentecost had occurred, right? But Peter is laying the groundwork and saying that anyone who turns away from serving sin, they repent, and is water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, they shall be saved. That's a powerful beginning, right? Once again, when we talk about beginnings, that's the point. They're beginnings. So things progress. They go a little further. And so what we read next was in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 10, I'm sorry. And so in Romans chapter 10, in verses 8 to 10, what we read was, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, so confessing Jesus Christ as your master, your Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus, raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Those two things. And then we discussed earlier on as well in verse 13, where it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, right? Those are what we would consider the easier things for people to receive, right? But what we were discussing last week that people really struggle with, right? And they need not struggle. Just understand that there's a time for everything, right? Just because you didn't receive something in the past doesn't mean that you can't receive it in the future. So when we read in Acts 19, 1 through 7, right, how Paul was actually speaking to the people and asking them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And before I get to that, I'm going to go back to this Acts 2, 38 and 39. Back in Acts 2, 38, what it says when it says, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is saying you shall receive lambano. You shall receive into manifestation the Holy Spirit. And that's a powerful thing because when we manifest the Holy Spirit, that is through something external. So when we speak in tongues, when we prophesy, right, we are manifesting that which is within, right? And so it's all about faith. And when people ask, why is this important? The reason it's important is so that you know, and so that you can share with someone else so that they absolutely know that they are saved. Now, I'll tell you, there are some denominations that use speaking in tongues and prophecy as a driver's license, right? It's like, prove to me you're saved. And I actually had a pastor have his deacon board ask me to speak in tongues for them to prove that I was saved, and I refused because that's out of order. It's inappropriate. You never read about anything like that, right? But, you know, for me to know that I am saved, to be in communication with God is important. Now, it's interesting because what Eric was talking about earlier was that desire within man to connect to God again. That is the result of Adam's sin, right? Remember, Adam was created in the image of God, his spirit, right? His body was formed and his soul was made, breathed into his nostrils, right? Well, when Adam died, when Adam sinned, what he lost was that spirit connection to God, that ability to commune, to communicate with God. And what was restored to us again was the ability to communicate with God once again, right? So that would be the simplified version of some of the things we're discussing tonight.
Are you saying that speaking in tongues is our ability to communicate with God? Wait a minute.
This is Dr. Susie.
I hear that perspective. And one of the things I want to tell everybody on the line, because we got a lot of new people who are on the line and who are listening tonight, we have a bunch of people on the line who are of different faiths. Not different faiths, different denominations. We're all Christians, but we're interfaith. And so we have different denominational beliefs on the line that are representative. So part of what we're trying to do is to dialogue about what does it mean to be saved. And so people are asking questions, and Brother Lester felt it was important that people understand you can actually know that you're saved. And these are the various ways that people know that they're saved. As he was saying, some people believe that you need to speak in tongues. Other people don't believe that. They believe you have to accept with your confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised again. And so the different things that we're discussing now are the different ways of knowing scripturally that you're saved. And so the last piece that was asked about is when a person, and this is where I differ a little bit. I believe that when a person, in the case of the garden, Adam and Eve, when God blew into the body that he created, the breath of life, I believe that same breath that gives us life, that the same part of the pneuma, the spirit, is in all of us. And I believe that what lost connection with when we sinned, what needed to be established to build a relationship, we all have, for me, the spirit that is within us, but for people who are atheists, they snuff that down. And as the Bible tells us that we can, through our behaviors, snuff down and depress the Spirit of God, that we can, through the truth, not acknowledge the truth and suppress it. And as such, that's, we're given over to a reprobate mind, and God allows us to do that if that's what we choose to do. However, for those of us who are believing the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for us, if I'm understanding where we are, then that bridge of Christ dying enabled the individual to again have that relationship with God if they professed and believed, or in the case of a person who is from Brother Lester's faith, also somewhere in his life evidenced in speaking of tongues. So that's how that individual spirit is connecting and lives in us and stays in us and resides in us, because that's a part of the temple, that the spirit resides in the temple. Our bodies as a temple. So okay. That's my two cents.
Well, I want to share with you this last portion, right, which is in Acts 19, 1 through 7. And the reason I'm sharing it is because it is a challenging piece for many people, right? But if you look at all of the instances, all of the examples in Acts where believers received the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues, and they were water baptized, right? And actually, it was the other word. and it's interesting because with the Samaritans, it happened differently. Let's see, where do we put that? But
would you like somebody to read Acts 19:1-7?
Yes, please. That'd be great.
Okay, I can read it. I have it. And I'm going to be reading through from the Message, and if somebody else could read another translation, it might help too. But 19 begins with, "Now it happened that while Apollos was away in Corinth, Paul made his way down through the mountains, came to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples there. The first thing he said was, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace him with your heart?' did he get inside you? We've never even heard of that, a Holy Spirit, God within us. How were you baptized then, said Paul? In John's baptism? In John's baptism. That explains it, said Paul. John preached a baptism of radical life change so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him who turned out to be Jesus. If you've been baptized in John's baptism, you're ready now for the real thing, for Jesus. And they were. As soon as they heard of it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. And Paul put his hands on their head, and the Holy Spirit entered them. From that moment on, they were praising God in tongues and talking about God's actions. Altogether, there were about 12 people that day. That's through 7, Brother Lester.
Yes. And so what you see here is you see people who hadn't even heard that it was available to receive the Holy Spirit. And remember, that's the word, is when you receive something, you're getting something you do not already have, right? Now, it's interesting that if I, and this is a great example, when you believe, when you do those things, when you turn away from certain things, water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, when you confess Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, keep your mouth, that he's your master, when you believe in your heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, you can receive Holy Spirit. You receive Holy Spirit. It's in you. When you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, right? It is in you. The Holy Spirit is within you. You receive it, right? It's just like if I go to your Facebook account and I send you some money on Facebook, right? It's in your account. But when you withdraw that money and you spend it on something, right, now you are manifesting, you are operating that which was placed in your account, right? So it is, and it's the difference between those two fancy Greek words I was telling you about. Dekomai, which is to receive into subjection where you have it, and lambano, which is to receive into manifestation or operation. It's the difference between having it placed in your account and you withdrawing it and spending it, right? And so what you see here is these people are saying, we didn't even know it was available to receive the Holy Spirit. That was, you know, they didn't know. And he taught them, he told them, then he laid his hands on them, and they received into manifestation by speaking in tongues and prophecy. And I'm going to read here in verse 5 of this is, what is this? This is, oh my goodness, I just lost all of my tabs. Okay, can somebody read that from another version for me? Oh, here it is, I'm sorry. I got it. It's Acts 19. And what it says here is, it says, yeah, Acts 19. Here we go. All right. And, oh, my goodness. All right.
So, Brother Lester, while you're doing that, do you mind if I ask some questions? Eric and
yeah, go right ahead.
Sean and... Can we get a little discussion? I'm wanting to know where everybody is on this right now, because it's been kind of quiet on the line. And we got people here visiting for the first time, and I just want to know.
This is Dean. I have a major question that I'd like to pose to everyone online. My understanding and my reading and my teaching and my learning is that on the day of Pentecost, Paul was preaching, and everyone heard Paul in their own native language, even though whatever language he was speaking.
You mean Peter?
Peter. They could hear in their own native tongue. My understanding of speaking in tongues is that it's a gift. Some can teach, some can preach, some can do this. Some can interpret as to what someone is saying while they're speaking in tongues. I have never had the gift of speaking in tongues. I've even had pastors come up to me and say, just say words, but take all the vowels out, and that's speaking in tongues. To me, that's not speaking in tongues. It is the gibberish that people speak, thinking that they're speaking in tongues, but they're just doing it like the Pharisees to be seen. It is not a gift that God has given me. It is not a, I wish I could speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit to speak within that to God, but I know that's not the gift that he's given me.
Indeed, this is James. 1 Corinthians 12 supports what you just said. If you go, and that's where it talks about all the gifts. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 30, I can read that if you want, but just a minute. It says, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And this is preceded by all the different gifts, the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. And the Paul is asking the question, do people have all of these gifts? And implication is no, everybody doesn't have all the gifts. So we have different gifts. It talks about the eye and the foot and the body parts being separate, but they're still all a part of one. So all the gifts that we have go together to help the body of Christ. But it's not saying that everybody has to have every gift, and all of us don't have the same gifts. But there's nothing wrong with that.
And this is Lester Carver speaking. Another way of looking at it is that the gift is the Holy Spirit. And the operations of the gift of the Holy Spirit are nine. They are speaking in tongues with interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, supernatural acts of faith, miracles, and gifts of healing, right? And some believe that when you have the Holy Spirit, that you have the power to operate all nine of those operations of the Holy Spirit that is within you. Now, there are verses that say that to the extent that we believe.
I have your money.
Yes, right. And so then there's a passage where Paul states that it's his desire that we would all speak in tongues, right? He said that he spoke in tongues more than any of us, right? And I think one of the questions that comes up for us as Christians is, what is speaking in tongues for? And I think you made a good point when you mentioned how people in certain denominations, they'll say, well, say, shine on my shoes real fast, shine on my shoes, shine on my shoes. I mean, it's a lot of nonsense, right? Once, when I was little, I observed this lady. She was saying she was speaking in tongues, but she just started beep, 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 beep. I mean, it was really crazy, right? But you have to understand that when you speak in tongues, it's God's Spirit speaking to your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, and speaking to your mind, and you speaking in a language that you do not understand, right? And just like when you interpret that tongue, you can't interpret a language you don't know, so you're receiving the interpretation for what was just spoken to your spirit, to your mind, through your mouth, voluntarily. And that's the other thing people don't understand. They think that when you speak in tongues, you're being possessed by something outside force, and that is not going to be, right? What speaking in tongues, right? Speaking in tongues is not linguistic ability.
We're not hearing you, Lester. You're fading out.
Okay, are you there? Are you there? Okay.
Yeah, we can hear
speaking
you now.
In tongues, yeah, what speaking in tongues is not, it is not linguistic ability. It is an inspired expression of a language which may or may not be understood by the people somewhere in the world. A tongue of angels or a tongue of men, right? Another thing it is not is the gift of unknown languages or the comprehension of languages, various tongues. The other thing it is not, as the brother said earlier, okay, is yelling and shouting and making hideous jabbering noises, right? So then if we say what tongues is not, then we have to say, well, what is it, right? Speaking in tongues is supposed to edify you. It's supposed to build up your inner man. For anybody with a pencil or pen, you might want to write these verses down and check them out at your leisure, right?
Right.
1 Corinthians 14:4 or Jude 1:20. And it says that speaking in tongues is to edify you. Are you there? Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Can you hear me, Brother Lester?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me, Brother Lester?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
You know, it's 7:47, and I just wanted to make sure we didn't focus the whole lesson on speaking in tongues. Our focus is eternal salvation. So if we can make sure that we kind of wrap that up, because we don't want everybody overwhelmed about
I'm going to go through this list, and the reason why is this, is because building up your inner man is important, right? And speaking in tongues is something you're to do every day in order to edify your inner man, and also to speak divine secrets to God, right? God will remember when Adam lost his spirit, when he died, he was no longer able to communicate with God on an ongoing basis as he was before. Speaking in tongues also allows you to speak the wonderful works of God, according to the scripture. According to the scripture, it allows us to magnify God. According to the scripture, it allows us to pray perfectly. According to the scripture, it allows us to give thanks well. It allows us to have the spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are sons, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, to know that we know. And see, that's a part of salvation, to know that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's important. And then when you speak in tongues, it's supposed to strengthen you with might in your inner man. It's a sign to unbelievers, and it's also rest to the soul. And that's something that, if you know from the scripture says these things, right? And then it says when we believe to interpret, it's to bring a message from God to the people that not only edifies us when we speak in tongues, but edifies the people who are around. And see, our salvation is about us, right? Eternal salvation, being saved. But it's also about saving others. And that's why we need to know which scriptures to point people to so that they can know what the scripture says about how you will receive salvation first subjectively within you. You'll have it. And then you can receive it into manifestation as you study the word and believe, because so many people stop with their spiritual life, with receiving Holy Spirit and getting saved, and they're like, now what? Right? Well, the more you study the word, the more you're going to see God has more for all of us to do. We never arrive, right? What are some of the thoughts about that?
Well, this is James. I don't think you have to speak in tongues to have a connection with God. I don't think you have to speak in tongues to feel, to be able to talk with God, to have God talk with you. I think it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, just like the many other gifts are, and it's not a condition of salvation. I think it's wonderful for those that do speak in tongues. I spoke in tongues one time, and it was wonderful, but it's not a condition of salvation. I was saved before I spoke in tongues, and I was saved after I spoke in tongues. And I felt God's presence before I spoke in tongues, and I feel God's presence after I spoke in tongues, and I feel God's presence now, and I don't speak in tongues in a regular basis. I believe it's a wonderful gift, but it's not a condition of salvation.
And I would never say, and this is the thing that I think everybody has to understand, is all of our journeys are different, right? But the thing that doesn't change is the Word of God, right? So what we have to do is we have to renew our mind so that when God shows us something that we may not have been prepared to receive in the past, right? And he says, I'm going to take you up to a higher level. I want to show you a dimension of myself, just like he did with Job, right? Before his affliction and after his affliction. Those are two different people, right? And all of us have a before this and after this moment with God. And I think that has to be our expectation, is not by any set of things that we do or do not do, but by the amount of the word that we receive and believe and act on and test and say, you know, is this true? And then when God shows up and he shows us things that we had not seen before, like what I was going to get to in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, right? It said, now when the apostles heard that Samaria had received the word of God, in other words, they were spiritually saved, for they believed according to Acts 8, 12, and 13, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive lambano into manifestation, into the senses realm, the Holy Spirit. And so after they heard that these Samaritans had received the Holy Spirit, they sent Peter and John, and then Peter and John laid hands on them, and then they manifested that which was within them, right? Well, what you read over and over and over in Acts is this process, right? But for me, the most exciting thing is when the household of Cornelius receives the Holy Spirit. Does anybody want to read that real quick in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 48? Are you there?
Yeah. Acts 10, 44 to 48.
44 to 48, yes, sir.
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard him speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
And what's interesting about this is that this is the first time the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit, but all the way up until this, the way that it happened traditionally was they were baptized, they were water baptized, and then they manifested, they spoke in tongues. This, it happened the other way around, and it's just interesting, right? So you know, as we study, what we want to do is just ask God, and remember that it is your eternal salvation. That's why it's called eternal life. We're going to discuss that next week and get off of this subject here, right? But I just want to encourage everyone this week to take a look at Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, and Acts chapter 10, and then see the progression of the rolling out of the Holy Spirit, and then ponder what eternal life means to you. And next week we're going to discuss in detail eternal life and salvation. Dr. Beavers, it's all yours.
Amen, amen. We want I want everybody to say something before we leave. We've got several people on the line. And so I'm going to go down through the line. I'm going to ask everybody to kind of give a feedback as to what they took home and the questions they may have so we can come back next week and get clarity about any questions that you might have. So, Dee, I'm going to ask you to start. Give me a take-home, and if you have any questions left, I'm writing that question down so we can bring it back next week and discuss it as well. So give me a take-home and if a question if you have it.
All right. My take-home is that I want everybody to know the way God has touched me in my life is that he gave me discernment. He gave me the spirit to understand. He gave me the spirit to know what's right and wrong. And through that, that is where I walk, and that's what I do. I have to go into a lot of places that most people won't go, to the crack house, to the jailhouse, to the prisons, because that's what he took me through to show me who he was. Speaking in tongues was not the gift that he gave me, but every gift that God gives is a part of the body of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit is with everyone, whether you know it or not, but you have to find your purpose within the Holy Spirit to walk in the light of God. My question would be.
I mean, you don't have to have one.
I know. My question would be, why has God not spoken to me yet?
Okay, now we focus on eternal salvation. So
I understand.
Keep your question around. Okay, so that question we'll have to talk about some other time. Our focus in the Bible study is on eternal salvation. So, Dee, we'll talk about that. We will. And I'll call you personally. We'll talk about it. Thank you. Okay, who's next? I wanted to ask Brother Corinne, since you're on the line. And you're new. This is your first time and your first experience. What one thing did you learn from tonight or was reminded of what you already understood about salvation?
As far as salvation, I'm a PK, so my dad's a reverend doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody around me, ministers, pastors. As far as eternal salvation, believing in God and believing in His Word and studying in His Word will bring you eternal salvation, and believing in Jesus Christ. I, as a child, was baptized once. As an adult, I was baptized again. In this whole conversation, the majority of it, just being an average Joe, and I've been around people that have been through CTS. I've sat in the back of classes at 5 years old all the way up to 12. Everything just blew my mind. I didn't understand half of the things you guys were talking about, and I'm trying to follow along in the scripture. It kind of flew over me. I feel like as far as the explanations that you guys give, I feel like they need to be a little bit more simpler and more down to earth for an average person to speak and to understand. We all know that you guys know what you're talking about, but the people listening, wanting to learn, they don't know. That's like a five-year-old going to a college course, no understanding. I just want everybody to be able to understand and be able to be accepted in that way.
Awesome.
Amen.
James.
Yeah.
Dr. Nook.
Yes. Yeah, I just want everybody to know that that God loves them and in that 1 Corinthians, the last part of the 12th chapter, and but it leads into, and yet I show you the most excellent way, that is the way of love. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit in people is that we love God and we love one another. That's the most important thing, that God has changed our lives. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about being saved and having God in my life.
Amen. Amen. So, Britt.
Okay. I think to make it the simplest it can be, you have to go by what Jesus himself says or teaches about salvation. Anything else is another man's interpretation. But God's word is clear. So when it comes to what other denominations believe in, and keep in mind that if we are all contending to be Christians, then we have to be in the same Bible and teaching the same thing. It's not about what your church does or my church does or anything else. It's about the Word of God. So if you're confused, if you want it to be broken down, just read what God has said or what Jesus has said, and it makes it just as simple. There's only certain things that Jesus said that had to be done. And if you keep that in mind, then you won't have any problems with it, because it's very simple.
Okay.
You got to come to him, and you got to confess. Okay?
Okay.
And
amen.
And after you confess, so, you got to repent, and then you have to be baptized. That's the requirement
amen.
That Jesus said. It's just that simple.
Thank you, Brother Britt. And Sean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. My takeaway
your take home?
Yeah. My takeaway is, I think there is, in the Bible, it talks about, you know, milk and meat. A spiritual journey is exactly that. It's a journey, right? It's like a child to adulthood. It's a process. So spiritual growth is a process. And so the, you know, a child obviously doesn't understand things that adults do, right? I mean, because they're not there yet. They haven't matured to that level. And spiritual is the same way. Spiritual growth is the same thing. So, you know, some of this is a little, you know, meatier than milk. It's, you know, spiritual maturity of the subjects, of some of the things we were talking about tonight. And that's, I think, the challenge, depending on where you are, can be a challenge for some. But I agree with the basic principle is whenever someone is speaking to you about, you know, salvation or, you know, being saved, whenever there's questions around what is being spoken to you, if it's true or not, it is, as a lot of us have said tonight, you have to read the word for yourself. You have to. If someone speaks it, go into the Bible and follow what they're saying. Read it for yourself. Study it for yourself. And then also pray to God. Ask him for understanding. Have him speak to you to understand what his word is that has been written in the Bible. So it will either be confirmed, right, and then you are reassured of what was spoken to you or what you heard, or, you know, if there's a question around it, then, you know, but God is the final say. So to me, that's, you know, you kind of thought that's the process. And so I thought it was good, but again, I've been going through a spiritual journey, as we all have. So But I haven't always been where I am either. So I had to grow in my spiritual journey in the growth of studying the Word, reading the Word, praying to God, and Him showing me through manifestations or interpretations and clarity for my understanding of what His Word is saying. And so my takeaway is I think it's awesome. And I love and appreciate, you know, all you guys, and I enjoy the Bible study, and I enjoy the insight of everybody's experiences. So I just thank God for all of you, and I thank God for His Word.
Amen. Amen. And I don't think this is a time of judgment. I think what we're trying to do is just find out what it was you were able to take home. And thank you, Sean, for that. I think it was a very good clarity. Anybody else who has not spoken?
Dr.
Would like
Susie,
to have something to say before.
Dr. Susie, real quick. This is Dee again. What Sean has said is very, very much so. Some is milk, some is meat. Some of us have a food bulk and we're eating meat, but we're still where we need to be. And some of us are on milk and we don't understand what the meat eaters are saying. But I advise everyone, please do not leave this line, because on one day you will be able to speak the way that everybody else speaks. And all we're trying to do is bring everyone on one accord to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I'm going to close tonight. And as we close, I just wanted to say that I felt that it was an awesome lesson. I think speaking in tongues is a challenge for most people because they don't get a lot of teaching on it. And it takes a lot of time and some basic understanding, as Brother Lester was sharing earlier, and how you have to grow and to read and to study, or else it becomes something that's frightening, or they don't think it's it becomes a challenge for those individuals who don't have who have not spent time in the Word regarding it and are not open to at least examining, because some denominations don't examine it at all. And so it makes it very challenging. The take home for me is that, you know, we were challenged to stretch and we were challenged to grow, to read God's Word and to understand the value of the different gifts that we have and how the Holy Spirit operates in order to take us to a different place of learning and relationship with God. And that is what we need to constantly be aware of, is our personal growth. And as we are looking at eternal salvation, that the Holy Spirit and God is with us, and as we accept the Lord as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit resides in us and helps us, becomes that consciousness that helps move us towards the growth and relationship with Christ that we seek. So we are very excited about it, and I'm just glad for all of those who came. I want to thank Pastor Lester for such an awesome lesson. It's very challenging. He took on a really tough subject, but you know, that's Pastor Lester. He, you know, he ain't scared. So we just thank him for his abilities to work with varying people. But we got to understand we have people of different levels here, and so we have to always be mindful to be able to nurture. It's like in a church service, you got to meet everybody where they are. And so that's what we're trying to do. And we're hoping that you'll come back next week and that you'll participate with us again. As we said, we will be, this next week will be our third lesson as we talk about eternal life and eternal salvation. And we ask that you join us again at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. If you would come with me in prayer as we close, God, we come before you asking that you would bless us, that you would magnify yourself as you have been throughout all of these last 12 years. Thank you for the teacher. Thank you, Pastor Lester, and the word that you've given him. Thank you for all the participants who came tonight to contribute and to ask questions and to study and to be challenged. All those people who are out there who are listening tonight, we're just asking whatever issue you may have, if it's financial, if it's the need to be able to eat, if there's a need that you have a job, whatever it is, we're just asking right now in the name of Jesus that God would meet your every need. But we just ask fundamentally that you not leave this place tonight. If you are teetering on the understanding of having Christ as your personal Savior, that you would accept him right now in the name of Jesus, that you would believe, that you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that if you speak in tongues, that you would call us and you call the line so that we could talk to you about that and expound upon what it is that you need to do. If you need baptism, that you would join a congregation or faith community near you so that you can be baptized water baptism. And we're just wanting to just thank you, Lord, for right now, the people who you brought to the mind, the people who are seeking to understand you, the questions and the challenges that we face, that you would not let anybody leave this line without the Holy Spirit touching them in a way that they would have basic understanding. And so as we reach out, Lord, we are trusting you for the increase. We ask these blessings now in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.